This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the greatest rewards that a person receives as he fasts this blessed month is no doubt, this is the greatest of them all, al-qurba ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being drawn nearer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَطْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said that the greatest things that bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal are the matters that He obligated upon us. And no doubt Ramadan and fasting is an obligation. And so the greatest reward that you receive from Allah Azza wa Jal is that you draw nearer and closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He commanded us to draw nearer to Him when He said, كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. Come close. And perhaps this is the wisdom, Wallahu A'lam Fawai, the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Qarib, was mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah within the ayat of fasting. Within the ayat of fasting, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my slaves were to ask you about me, then I am near, I am close. The name of Allah, Al-Qarib, was mentioned within the ayat of fasting to teach you and I that if we fast correctly, because that's the only obligation, that's the only unique special obligation in Ramadan, it's the fasting during the day. If you do that correctly, then you will be close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And what an honor and what an achievement it is for a person. You see, today, people kill each other. They kill each other just to draw nearer to people of social status and people of wealth and authority and position and power and rule and so on. People fight over this. And to imagine you're not coming close to someone here on earth that has power and authority. You're getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, the All-Powerful. Yani this is something incredible and something special. Look, even in the time of Fir'aun, when his magicians wanted to do magic and work, they stopped. They said, "Inna lana la ajra." Are you going to pay us for the work that we'll do for you? He said, "Qala na'am, wa innakum idhan lamin al-muqarrabin." I won't only pay you, but I'll bring you close to my circle. You'll all become ministers. And this is something, look, they were running to come closer to Fir'aun. Of course, Allah saved them later on and they made a tawbah. But the idea is people have this in their nature, to come close. Anta why? Every closeness you come to a servant, then you're going closer to someone who is weak, someone who is powerless. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, we're all going to perish, we're all going to die. So there's actually no honor, there's no worth in fighting and killing yourself to get closer to someone. The only worth, the only honor is that you go and draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal loves this deed of fasting. You know, there was a man, he came to Al-Madinah and he was hungry. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out and he called out his companions. He said, who will entertain this guest tonight? Who'll take him in his house and feed him and clothe him and give him a place to rest for tonight? So a companion volunteered. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'll take him in. So this man, the poor man, new visitor in Al-Madinah, was taken to this Sahabi's house. And this Sahabi, him and his wife, cooked some food. And they turned off all the lights. And the Sahabi made it as though he's eating with the guest, but he wasn't eating. The guest was eating alone. This is the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he wants to make sure that he is full and he's fed and he sleeps well. A night went by. No one saw anything. Even the guest himself couldn't even see what the host was doing. After that night finished, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to this companion and he called him out. He said to him about him and his wife, لَقَدْ عَجِبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ صَنِيعِكُمَا بِضَيْفِكُمَا اللَّيْلَةِ. He said to them that Allah Azza wa Jal was amazed. He is pleased, he was happy with what you two did with your guest last night. Allahu Akbar, I tell you something. This is a man who gave up food. He gave up food for the sake of his guest for one night. Allah Azza wa Jal was amazed by that which he did. Imagine then the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal for a person who not only gives up his food for the sake of guests, he gives it up for the sake of Allah. And 30 days. How much more is Allah Azza wa Jal amazed with this servant and pleased with this servant? Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us. See, Sheikh Kamal told us a lot about the virtues. I started off with telling you about Al-Qurba and coming close to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is an honor, this is a virtue. And when we look at Ramadan, what is the greatest obligation and greatest pillar in Ramadan? It's not paying zakat, zakat al-mal. No, actually zakat al-mal is better to be paid at the beginning of Muharram, not in Ramadan, how people do. The month of Ramadan is a month of voluntary sadaqat. That's what it is. It's a month of voluntary sadaqat. Your zakat al-mal, it's best to be paid at the beginning of the year in Muharram. So it's not that. It's not at-tarawih. At-tarawih, of course, highly encouraged, recommended, great reward and virtue. But at the end of the day, it remains a recommended matter, a sunnah. If you observe Ramadan, the most important thing in Ramadan is the day activity, and that is fasting. It is fasting. This is what you're supposed to focus on, and this is what you're supposed to understand, fasting. You see, what is upsetting is when we begin Ramadan and you don't understand how to fast correctly. Some people think fasting is only keeping away from food and drink from sunrise to sun, from Fajr to sunset, and we're all done. You miss out on great reward, and you have misunderstood what fasting is. For even it is very important for us all to understand quickly in a few minutes, what is the proper and correct way of fasting? What is the fasting that Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you and I? What is the fasting that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions and taught the ummah, is what we need to discover. If we look at fasting, we find that Allah Azza wa Jal already informed us in the Quran that the greatest purpose of fasting is to earn at-taqwa. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That's the greatest wisdom and purpose of why we fast. So that the taqwa could be nurtured in the heart. What is a taqwa? A taqwa is to do what Allah commanded, to keep away from what He prohibited. A taqwa basically is to increase your good deeds and to decrease, reduce your sins and your disobedience and your transgression. And fasting was prescribed for that reason. So now you understand that fasting, it wasn't about you starving. Fasting is not about starving, becoming hungry and thirsty. This is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said fasting is two things. It's two things. It is the fasting of the body from food, drink, and intimate relations. And the second part is the fasting of the limbs from sin and transgression. Wal ulama rahimahum Allah, from among the salaf, they used to say that the easiest type of fasting is the fasting of the body from food, drink, and intimate relations. That's the easiest fasting. That, even 7-year-old kids do this. 10-year-olds do it. Even non-Muslims do it. People do this on a daily basis for their diet and so on. They avoid drink, they avoid food for a few days. Everyone does this. That's the easy type. You see how dangerous it is to start Ramadan and all you're thinking is that fasting is to give up food and water? Is anyone does this? The most difficult and the correct type of fasting is that alongside giving up food, drink, and intimate relations for Allah Azza wa Jal's sake, is that you give up a few other things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself told us. It's not me making it up. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the correct type of fasting. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, in addition to abstaining from food and drink and intimate relations, there are three other things you need to abstain from. Number one, he said, قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, you must abstain from false speech, from evil words. So that's the sins of the tongue. The gossip, the slander, the backbiting, the lying, all of the evil of the tongue. The tongue must fast from that as well. Especially backbiting. This is one of the greatest sins, a major sin. Some ulama, wallahi, some ulama mentioned their opinion was that whoever backbites during Ramadan, his fasting is void. It's invalid. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, you must make up the day again. This is a minority opinion, even though the majority opinion is that it only diminishes from your reward and you don't have to make up the day. But look at this discussion among al-ulama. Among al-ulama, they would say whoever backbites during the day, while he's fasting, he invalidates his fast. This is someone who didn't put anything in his food. He didn't eat anything. He said words of evil, words that are displeasing to Allah. How does it make sense? You know, there's a big contradiction here. Because you, when you fast, you leave out that which is halal. Here, this food, this rice, this chicken, this water, this is all halal. You left it. How can you leave something halal and then you do something haram? There is a contradiction in this. You're not fasting properly. You're not fasting correctly. You haven't understood the purpose and the wisdom of fasting. It wasn't to starve you from what's halal. Rather, it was to nurture this heart that you keep away from that which is haram and forbidden. Look at the case of Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu anhumah. I narrate to you an authentic hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, authenticated by Imam al-Albani. He said, Anas said, that the Arabs, when they used to travel, they used to serve one another. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma were traveling once, and they had a man that was serving them. So they slept, and this servant of theirs slept in. So when Abu Bakr and Umar woke up, one of them said to the other, look at this man. He sleeps like he's sleeping at home. So they went and woke him up. As he got up, they said to him, go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey our salam and request some food for us. We're hungry. So he went. He saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr and Umar, convey a salam and they request from you some food. They're hungry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, they've already eaten. Go and tell them that they've already eaten. This servant came to Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma and said to them both, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you've both eaten already. So they're astonished, they're amazed, surprised. They went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, You have said to this servant that we've eaten, we haven't eaten anything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that you had backbit your brother. وَإِنِّي لَأَرَى لَحْمَهُ بَيْنَ أَنْيَابِكُمَا. I can see his flesh between your teeth. So then they said, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah for forgiveness for us. He said, you go and seek forgiveness of your brother. This is Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu anhuma. What did they say? They just saw a man sleeping and they said, he's sleeping like he's at home. Allahu Akbar. This is an evil deed Allah Azza wa Jal is not pleased with. It's a major sin. How many fall in this major sin during the day of Ramadan and thinking they're still fasting and their fasting is safe and it's good? Little do they know that lots of reward is being diminished and reduced to the point where they might end that day. There's no reward other than they have just done a fard and they earned no reward from it. Subhanallah. This is why Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he used to fast, he used to sit in the masjid the whole day. They would ask him, why? Why are you in the masjid for? He would say, مُطَهِّرُ صِيَامَنَا. I want to purify my fast, to keep it protected. I don't want to go outside. That's where evil is. That's where filth is. People are talking among each other. People are swearing. People are shouting. I don't want to be in that environment. I stay in the masjid to preserve and protect my fasting. Wahak, many of At-Tabi'een was Salaf. They used to keep away. If he used to fast, he remains at home. Like Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, he'll stay at home. He will only leave for As-Salat. Why? Because he wants to purify his ease. He doesn't want to hear anything haram. Doesn't want to get in an argument with someone or in a situation where he's going to talk something haram. Then it'll affect his fasting. These are people that understood what fasting is. It's not giving up food and water. That's very easy. It's more than that. It's a taqwa. It's this leaving of the haram. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, anyone who does not abstain from evil speech, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, and he doesn't abstain from evil actions. Ah, that's by the sins of the eye, the sins of the ear, the music that people hear, the sins of the hands and what they do on social media, and the haram commenting they put, the backbiting, this is also considered. And real, from real to real, an average person, he scrolls about 60 meters a day. How much haram do you see in 60 meters? Did you make effort to walk 60 meters to Al-Masjid or not? This is during the day of Ramadan. This is what people are doing. So the idea is, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, whoever doesn't abstain from evil speech and evil actions, وَالْجَهَلِ, and whoever doesn't abstain and keep away from ignorance. Al-jahl here means two things. Number one, ignorance. And ignorance is to do opposite to what you know. You know that as-salat is obligatory, but you don't pray. That's jahl. Just like you know a fire burns, you put your finger in it, that's jahl. You did not act upon your knowledge. Leave this matter of having knowledge and not acting upon it. And the other meaning of al-jahl is foolish, arrogant behavior. And that's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell us, فَلَا يَصْقَبْ. Don't scream and shout and argue with people on a day you're fasting. And if anyone does want to pick a fight with you and argue with you and quarrel with you, we're told by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to him in his face, inni sa'im twice. I am fasting, I am fasting. What does that mean? It means I am fasting and I don't want to invalidate and break this fast and reduce its reward by talking back to you arrogantly and with rudeness and bad manners. I can do that. But what holds me back is because I am fasting. Tell him, I'm fasting, and walk away. Otherwise, I am fasting. Everyone knows. Wouldn't you know you're fasting? Why would you say to him you're fasting when it has nothing to do with food and drink? In context, I'm fasting here means what? He's swearing at you. He's not offering you food for you to tell him I'm fasting. He's swearing, he's cursing you, he's being foolish and arrogant towards you. So when you say to him, I'm fasting, it means I need to hold my tongue back. I can't talk now. I'm in a state of worship. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I need to refrain from evil speech, you know what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of the hadith? He said, whoever doesn't leave evil speech and evil action and ignorance and foolish character and behavior, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٍ فِي أَن يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Allah doesn't want from him to leave his food and drink. There's no need. There, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Allah is not in need of you leaving food and drink. Go and eat and drink. Might as well eat and drink because you've already destroyed your fasting. This is important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, perhaps a fasting person, the only thing he gets out of his fasting is hunger. What does that mean? Meaning he gets no reward. He only got hungry. Because he did all these violations during the day. What happens? The reward is gone. The only thing he remained with was hunger. We need to understand this point very carefully. So brothers and sisters in Islam, make sure you understand that the correct and proper fasting, alongside giving up food, water, and intimate relations, is to also give up the sins of the limbs, all of them, from the tongue, to the ears, to the eyes, to the hands, to the feet. Keep it all out of your life. And this is how Ramadan and fasting trains the heart upon a taqwa. When you keep away from a sin, don't think that, oh, I could have benefited, I could have satisfied myself a little bit with a sin. When you keep away from a sin, you're practicing taqwa. This is exactly what Allah wants. This is what a taqwa is. And you earn reward for restraining yourself from sin. Look at the mercy and the generosity of Allah. The sins that you keep away from, in obedience to Allah, you're earning reward. You're earning, because this is a worship. Keeping away from a sin grants you reward. Keeping away from major sins all along purifies you, cleanses you from the minor sins, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said. So we be careful, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this Ramadan. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to purify our fast and to make us from those who fast correctly and properly. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.